Holy shit, it's Thursday night. You know what that means? It's time for a legal shift. Tonight, we're going to change things up a little bit. We're going to be talking about the case of Matt Araiza, the punter from San Diego. He got signed by the Bills and then was wrongfully accused of a salacious crime. We're going to break down what the truth is and how it affects men when they get slandered by women with false accusations. And we're also going to talk about Russell Wilson, so let's do it.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the...
giving them business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Illegal shift on the kicking team. That penalty is refused.
So a friend of mine was saying that she couldn't hang out with me this past weekend because she was going to her son's basketball game. And I told her I couldn't think of anything more shameful than basketball, than high school basketball. She said, well, it's actually a pretty close game.
What the hell?
I'm like, it's still a shameful endeavor. I'm John. I'm a 911 dispatcher. I'm here to talk about sports because we're the First Responder Sports Show. This is Failure to Stop, the number one podcast and platform, where we go to entertain and inform first responders such as yourself. We're here to talk about sports, but kind of in a laid-back, maybe non-expertise way. Joining me, as always, is Jason Kiefer. He's a fireman. He's got that weird, funny hat with that thing in the back for no reason. He's a firefighter out in Cincinnati. He's been doing that forever and a day. Catching up with you, Jason, first of all, how the hell are you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, doing all right. Got a new microphone. Pretty excited about that. And yes, you're right. I have been doing it forever and a day, and I feel it every day. But I'm good. Nothing, I'm glad to be here.
Nothing covers up the pain and misery of a sad and terrible life and the pain of light dragging around hoses for 25 years than just getting a new microphone so you could be an even better podcaster. Glad that you're here. I appreciate you joining me. First of all, we got some breaking news in the NFL world. And when I say breaking, I mean it like happened like probably like 2 days ago because we're a once a week show. You get what you get here. It's free. What's going on with Russell Wilson? He just got released by the Broncos, which we were talking before the show. Russell Wilson now adds his list to a long, he adds his name to a list of long quarterbacks, long list of people that just never fucking did anything good for Denver, other than like Peyton Manning, and even then he was on a second team.
Well, we had John Elway, who I was a big fan of growing up. I love John Elway, but
I was not really an Elway fan because I don't like people who get drafted by teams and then throw like a hissy fit. I don't know if you're aware of the deep background of John Elway, but he basically got drafted by the Baltimore Colts, who were not a good team at that time, and he's like, man, I'll just go play baseball. Kind of dicked everyone around, and then the Colts went it. They knowing that the Colts knew that he was not going to play football if they drafted him, and they went ahead and did it anyway. And then somehow it still all got worked out, just like how it did with Eli Manning. So, you know, I don't have strong feelings about John Elway. I guess he was a good player. Maybe I need to have a greater appreciation for him just because quarterbacks really aren't built in that mold anymore. Although I do think that Peyton Manning was maybe more in his mold. But I'm just going to read some quarterbacks who have played for Denver. And for the casual football fan, you need to know that none of these players are really a big deal. And I'll explain why in some specific cases. Last year was Russell Wilson, who is being let go this week. He was a star for the Seahawks, won a Super Bowl over there, but he's a shadow of his former self. So they kind of picked up a has-been, which is at some points during the season, there were various people who were saying that Russell Wilson was not washed and this was a great move, but it didn't end that way. Jared Stidham also started two games for the Broncos this year. Stidham was the guy to take over for Tom Brady and the Patriots, but of course, that's not what happened because you've never even heard of Jared Stidham. So Brett Rypien was also there. Teddy Bridgewater was there for 14 games in 2021. I'm actually a Teddy Bridgewater fan because at one point he was injured. I believe it was during practice, Kiefer. They threw him in the back of an ambulance, and they told him there was a very, very strong possibility that he was going to lose his leg. It was somehow some horrendous injury. And
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, he told the driver of the ambulance, which, Kiefer, do you guys hate being called ambulance drivers?
I guess it's better than ambulance chaser, I suppose. But somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to drive it.
I suppose. It is, you really couldn't use a term like ambulance pilot because, like, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, he obviously they saved his leg and he's able to battle back to a starting position, you know, just a couple years ago with Denver. So that was sort of an amazing story. I know that Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is finally retired and he's taking coaching jobs. Drew Locke, barely recall that guy. Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rypien, Philip Lindsay had one game. Joe Flacco, this was back in 2019. This is before he had his big comeback. He spent a little bit of time in Denver.
God, I forgot about that too. Jesus.
Brandon Allen was there. Barely am aware of his existence. Case Keenum is a guy I actually like. He's made his way around with a few teams. Case Keenum actually led the Vikings to a deep playoffs run.
Yep.
A few years ago, they ended up losing to the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe it was not in the NFC Championship. I believe it was in the divisional round, but the Vikings had a good team that year, and I thought they should keep Case Keenum. But what the Vikings do is that they build a great team, and then on one day, they are outplayed by a team, and they decide, well, our team's trash, and then they completely disassemble.
Yeah.
I'll throw all the pieces to the wind, and they're like, well, we are trash now. They can never have the view that, like, well, we just got beaten by a team one day, and it's no big deal. We're still a great team.
It's like imploding one of the casinos in Vegas.
Exactly.
You can see it coming. You know it's going to happen. You just don't know when, and you hope that you're there to see it.
They have a defeatist attitude, and I've said this before about the Vikings and the Vikings fans, that no one hates the organization of the Minnesota Vikings more than the Minnesota Vikings. And I believe the Case Keenum season was the one where they had the Minneapolis Miracle. If you can look up that play anytime you want on YouTube, where it was they managed to drive down the field and on a play in which I believe it was Trevin Diggs. He had the opportunity to go out of bounds to stop the clock. He also had the ability to go out of town. He did. He went to Buffalo. Yeah. If you've been to Minneapolis, you understand why. But he could have gotten out of bounds to stop the clock, but instead he saw just a full-blown open field in front of him, ran down, scored a touchdown. It was a good play, good game. I know a lot of people were excited about that. I've been in the grocery store before when the Vikings have missed a field goal in the playoffs, and you can hear everyone in the whole store groan at once. It's amazing because everyone's watching on their phone while they shop, and you're, oh. That was a few years ago. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler is a very widely renowned player. He was there to take over Peyton Manning. Tim Tebow, kind of well-known. Kyle Orton and Jake Cutler, of course, kind of have dual legacies there and in Chicago. Jake Plummer. I think Plummer, didn't he have good luck with the Panthers at some point? I think, maybe.
I'm trying to remember where he did go.
I don't know.
I mean, it was better luck than he had. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. And then back turn of the century, Brian Gracie, Gus Verratt, Steve Bauerlein. And that was all, you know, just picking up from the reins of John Elway. So, like, they have had terrible luck with the Broncos. And if I didn't generally have disdain for the Broncos, I would feel bad for them. But they don't have.
Not talked about as you went down that list. Something that really isn't talked about.
What's that?
In comparison to the Cleveland Browns and their quarterback issues.
And just
how ironic the list of quarterbacks that the Browns have gone through.
Let me ask you this, and then because you want to take the list of players that the Bears have gone through. Do players hate orange teams? Is that what it is? Do you think it really is like a fashion thing where, like, they get all suited up and, like, I'm ready to play pro football? But as they look in the mirror and they see an orange jersey on them, they're just like, well, I'm a fraud. This is not an authentic life. This is not what I wanted. Because I have no other way to explain how these three teams would have such terrible luck with quarterbacks. It's just the orange. Somehow it's a bad color. Obviously, we've adopted it for us. And I guess, I don't want to say that it's just orange teams because you're a Bengals fan, but what is the quarterback history been for the Bengals before Joe Burrow? Like, you've had years of stability. Carson Palmer, yep. Andy Dalton.
Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
After Boomer, we hit the David Klingler stage, the Akili Smith stage. So we did kind of have a little bit of a run where it was we had no captain of the ship there for a little while.
No captain of the ship. I don't know how to explain these things, but all I know is that Denver parting ways with Russell Wilson when they maybe could have kept him on the team. Particularly since they're just cutting him and they're having to pay him all this money anyway. we're not keeping him around. But his relationship with Sean Payton was pretty bad. I don't remember if you remember the end of the season, but at one point Sean Payton was like screaming at his face,
like he was his father.
You know, sitting there doing
the chest poke.
Exactly. You know, and you know what's fascinating is you also had Travis Kelce screaming at Andy Reid's face, and yet their relationship was wonderful. So what's the difference, right? It's winning and losing. I think if Travis Kelce and Andy Reid were on a losing team, if they had gone below 500, I think, you know, there would be some kind of parting of ways of somebody. But they believe that Sean Payton is definitely worth all the gold that they paid to the Saints to get him there, and Russell Wilson may be washed. So I guess they're going to start over from scratch this year. We'll see how it goes with the Broncos. But if you're a Chiefs fan, this is just another reason to celebrate, because their division is incredibly weak. There's hope that like somehow the Chargers, who are basically the Cowboys of the AFC West, they're going to come around and turn things around. The Las Vegas Raiders haven't been good for a long time. Their flashes of brilliance are always short-lived. So I guess it's a good time to be a Chiefs fan, because you've got basically everything going for you. Do you mind if I do some ad reads?
Hey, let's knock that out of the way.
I know normally you're very against the ad reads, so I just wanted to ask you today.
That was very nice of you. I appreciate you for that.
Thank you. Folks, this show is brought to you by Ghostbed. Go to ghostbed.com. Go over there and look on their website, and you're going to see all kinds of great stuff. Anti-gravity technology, sheets, mattresses, pillows. All of it's revolutionary, and all of it's going to change the way that you sleep. I know what you're thinking. Change the way I sleep for the worse, because it's already pretty terrible. No, it's going to change it for the better. That's why Ghostbed exists. They support veterans. They support podcasters, first responders like you and me. They support Failure to Stop. If you love this show, as a listener, you can save up to 40%. I think Eric said the other day, possibly 50%. I don't know if they have a special deal going on right now, but use the offer code Wolfpack. You can save money over there. 0% down, 0% financing. You can have Brett Ripien in credit. You can get a great mattress over there. And of course, you could relive all your football glory days and your dreams, because unfortunately for Brett Ripien, they're not playing out in real life. Sorry if that was like a low-key slam on Brett Ripien, a man who has accomplished more in his meager football career than I have in my fevered dreams. Also, supporting Failure to Stop is Factor Meals. Folks, do you eat? Are you at home? Aren't you doing those things together? Factor Meals will have food delivered right to your house. It's fresh, never frozen. Go on their website. You'll see over 300 options. They've got breakfast. They've got lunch. They've got dinner. If you're looking to plan out your meals, do your meal prep for the week, this is a great way to do it. If you're counting calories, if you're trying to put carbs out of your diet, if you're trying to increase fat because you're on a keto diet, you want to do protein because you're trying to build muscle mass. Let's say you just want nothing but carbs. You want to become the world's fattest man. You could have all kinds of pasta dishes too. You can decide how many you want delivered throughout the week. It'll come right to your house, reverse trick or treat style. Use the offer code WOLFPACK50. That'll save you half off on your first week. You will not be disappointed by this. In an era of going out and getting the sticker shock of high grocery prices and a Biden economy, driving around having to put up with the human beings in your way at the grocery store, no one behaves in anything other than a totally sociopathic fashion in the grocery store. There's some sort of dissociation. When people go in to pick up the cart, they think, I am the only person here that matters.
That's a fact.
I have literally been rammed by a person with a cart intentionally at a grocery store. And it wasn't like during the run on toilet paper or anything, but people just, they're not human at the grocery store. It is survival of the fittest for no reasons. For some reason, all of our survival instincts kicking in the grocery store, even though we are not competing and there's no scarcity here. There's a post honeycomb for everyone. We are all fighting for some reason. Get past that. Have Factor Meals delivered right to your house. Like I said, they have over 300 options. You can save 50% off to start. They support Failure to Stop. We appreciate them. Go over there and keep your favorite podcast going by going over to Factor Meals. Use that offer code WOLFPACK50. We have a new company that's supporting us. It's called The Wellness Company. They give you an opportunity to own your wellness, own your health, and own your freedom with The Wellness Company. You can get well and stay well with solutions designed by top doctors. They offer natural supplements like melatonin to help you sleep, immune support, daily essentials for your mind, and for your energy, digestion, metabolism. Now, they've also got prescription meds like antibiotics. You're going to want to stock up on that before the next emergency. And I know what you're thinking, John, that sounds pretty nuts. Well, we just had some sort of outage recently with the way the insurance billing works so that no one could get their prescriptions. Well, imagine if you had a stock of stuff on hand that you need to survive a bad situation. It's always good to have that. Speaking of bad situations, you can first aid kits, medical kits, contagion kits. And if with a membership at the Wellness Company, you can detach yourself from Big Pharma entirely. Over at the Wellness Company, you can get 10% off with our offer code over there. I believe it's Wolfpack. Go over there and save some money. Get the stuff that you need. Take care of your family. Be well prepared. This is the time now to do that rather than later. For some reason, this is just how human psychology works. But when times are good, we do nothing to prepare. And then the bad days come and we're like, man, I wish I had taken 5 extra minutes. I wish I had listened to John. And I wish I had gone over to the Wellness Company and had some of this stuff delivered to my house. Listening to me is always a good idea. Unfortunately, people are just calling me when it's too late. And I don't just say that because I'm an 911 dispatcher. Kiefer.
Bates.
Hey, we wanted to talk about the case of Matt Araiza. Last week, we were talking about Zay Flowers, his domestic violence case, and some other people that get wrongfully accused because Zay Flowers could possibly still be facing some sanctions from the Baltimore Ravens for what happened to him.
That game last week was fun. Had no idea. The over-under.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't. Sorry, I put that out of my mind.
I couldn't believe how bad I was at it. But
you were pretty bad at it. I'm sorry. But case in point, like, I'm a good friend because I just forgot about it, you know. So what happened to Matt Araiza? He was playing a punter for San Diego State University. In 2021, he got drafted by the Buffalo Bills, which, as we all know, is a kind of a big deal. Drafted for being a special teams means you're the man. And he got signed by the team. And he even won the starting position. 2 days later, he was fired for the Bills. You know why he was fired, Kiefer?
I've got a pretty good idea.
I'm going to mislead you here. Okay. It was because he was criminally charged with the crime of sexual assault. Wait a minute. That is not what happened. That is the way society views it. All of a sudden, you started seeing Matt Araiza's name with the words gang rape being thrown around, which is a horrendous thing to accuse somebody of. When you see your name next to those words in the headlines, it's very, very bad for your reputation, for your image, and for the team that just signed you. The Buffalo Bills said, we don't want any of this, and they fired him. But again, he was not criminally charged with the crime of rape. The prosecutors in San Diego took a look at the case. They investigated for months. They interviewed over 35 witnesses. They watched 9 videos. It's kind of the major upside of people having cell phones anymore is that everyone's got videos of everything. And they were able to determine that there was no way that Matt Araiza was involved in this alleged assault. It's amazing. Everything that happened to Matt Araiza. I've been watching a lot of interviews with him and kind of the way that he handles himself. And the reason why we're talking about this is because Matt Araiza is somebody that has basically been standing up for himself in the face of these terrible allegations. Let's think about somebody like Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger was once accused of something. I believe it was another civil situation. And he settled to make that situation go away. And so what's the cloud that hangs over Ben Roethlisberger to this day? Is it something happened, right? And then he paid some kind of hush money to make it disappear.
Well, yeah. And that's where I was going to, I didn't know if that was a dramatic pause or if you wanted a response.
Oh no, you jump in there at any time. Although I like it when you hang back and let me be dramatic as well. That's all very good.
But I agree with you there that I think something definitely happened with Roethlisberger. And if you're accused of some type of sexual assault, rape, whatever it may be, as you said, horrendous crime or horrendous accusations, I'm not paying out. If I'm innocent, I'm going to prove my innocence. And I'm going to make whoever accused me look like a complete and utter moron. But I'm not going to throw a whole bunch of money at you to make it go away. And you never heard anything else about it. You never heard a statement from him, his attorney, any of that. It was just, here's your money, go away, let me continue playing my football.
Right. And now to this day, people still have sort of their beliefs about Matt or Ben Roethlisberger and kind of the kind of person that he is and that how that situation went down. And Roethlisberger I've never been in that situation. I certainly agree with you that you should definitely fight for your reputation, especially when it is all you have. Matt Araiza never made any money from the NFL being fired right away. You know, he never came away with any money. Ben Roethlisberger had a career to preserve at the time when his allegations came out, or I should say accusations. But what happened? So in 2021, San Diego State football team, there was an off-campus college party being thrown by the football players. This was to celebrate a year of success that they were having. Matt Araiza was indeed in attendance at this party. This story is kind of difficult to tell because the female who's accusing Matt Araiza and other football players at this time, you know, she's not being named. There's certain shield laws that protect her identity to protect her from retaliation. I'm hoping at some point, if all of her lawsuits are dropped, that her name will be made public, because frankly, she's going around destroying people's lives and trying to take advantage of the fact that these are successful football players, at least in the case of Matt Araiza. But a 17-year-old girl snuck into this party. She was not invited. She was a little bit of backstory on her. There's plenty of video about her. There's actually a video going around on her on YouTube. I'm sure it's been pulled down since. But her at a party the night before, behaving in a very lascivious manner, very flirtatious. I guess you could say she was described as being very forward. What you'll never hear Matt Araiza say or other people say is that she was basically acting like a big slut. She was... And at one point, and again, there's 35 witnesses, some of whom are her friends, who have all been interviewed by the county prosecutors, and video footage that I'll get to in a second. But at one point, she makes this statement: "I want you to fuck me, and if you don't fuck me, you're..." And I don't know what the last word is there, but basically, I don't know if she was calling someone homosexual or something. But this is the forceful manner with which she's offering herself. She's telling Matt Araiza that she's very, very well experienced. And this leads Matt Araiza to question her age, which a lot of people have kind of jumped on Matt Araiza's back, saying, like, why are you asking how old people are before you have sex with them? And because it's kind of suspicious, right? Like, did he know that she was underage? I will say that asking the age of the person that you're having sex with is like the ultimately responsible thing to do, particularly when you are that age, when you're 21, when you're 22. The difference between you and a 17-year-old is just a couple of years, right? Like, you're all peers. You're still sort of in that peer group. Like, legally, yes, we define minors differently and in terms of what they're allowed to do in terms of their consent. Like, I'm not trying to, like, muddy up the line between juveniles and adults. Let's not muddy that. But it's a lot different than someone like me or Kiefer, somebody your age. If you decided to have an encounter with someone, there's no reason for you to ID them, because, like, even if they're, like, 10 years younger than you, they're still good to go legally, you know, but when you're in college, you cannot hook up with someone who has a tremendous age difference from you. So asking that question shows that, he's at least thinking consciously about that. Plus,
and I think with that, being a student athlete, you're under a little bit more of a microscope than just the general matriculation, school people.
Yeah.
That are just going to get educated. A student athlete is definitely looked at a lot differently than just a normal student.
It is. And he said that he should have been smarter about, the trajectory that his life was on. Obviously, he was headed for great things in football. He regrets going to this party just because of how it turned out. He doesn't regret anything that happened because, in his words, and I've watched plenty of interviews with him, and he's actually very articulate, very smart. And I love the way that he conducts himself, but he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything to hurt anyone. These accusations that have been attached to my name have nothing to do with me. I was not involved in any of those things. And this was one quote by him that I thought was especially powerful. He said, if a person should be fired from their job because they hooked up with someone in college, our unemployment rate in this country is going to explode exponentially.
Exactly.
He says it happens at every single college across this country every single weekend that people are hooking up. So I think he acknowledges that it was not the smartest thing for him to do, to be hooking up with a girl that he had only known for 15 minutes. But this is essentially how it went down. He's at the party sometime prior to midnight. He's having a conversation with him and his teammates. The accuser, butts into the conversation, in his words, kind of forces herself into that conversation. Again, she's very flirtatious and she's very forward. This is the part that makes Matt Araiza look bad. And this is almost where I compare him to Johnny Depp, right? Because he's admitting to things that don't make him look good. They don't paint him in the best light. And when things like this happen, you know, as the old saying goes, it takes two to tango. I'm not saying that makes him civilly liable for anything that definitely was not his fault or criminally liable, but it's like, you know, he played his part in being involved in the situation. So he goes outside to take a leak because this is a huge party, limited number of bathrooms. He's not going to wait. He's been drinking. He's not drunk. He doesn't believe that she's drunk, but they go outside and they engage in a brief encounter, which I guess is sex and oral sex. And she returns to the party after that encounter, talks to her friends. She's bragging about it. She's dancing. She's saying she's having a good time. The entire time that happened on the side of the house, she was within earshot of other people. If anything forcible had happened, she would have been able to call out for help. She never did that. And she behaved, you know, in a very happy fashion after that encounter occurred. Matt Araiza then left the area, left the scene, called it quits, left the party. At one point, his lawyers had asked for a release from his cell phone company for his the tracking of his cell phone, where it was located. So as your cell phone moves around, it sends out roaming signals and attaches to cell phone towers, certain infrastructure around town. As you move throughout the city, you move closer to other towers and farther away from others. And this is something that you could tell, particularly if the cell phone's being used. If you're calling someone, you're texting someone. Well, so it turns out the prosecutor's office had already collected this. This is just part of a standard investigation anymore that they get where the cell phone stuff is at. And Brady v. Maryland is a legal doctrine and principle and precedent that if the prosecutor's office has any exculpatory evidence for someone that they're looking at for prosecution or are prosecuting, they're required to give that to the defense. So they already knew going into it that they were going to have some evidence they would have to turn over to Matt Araiza and his defense team, saying that, yeah, well, we show that you were moving away from the party before this stuff ever happened. So we know that he left the scene. More people that were deposed, witnesses that were spoken to, say that after that happened, the female that accused Matt Araiza then went on to have a second encounter with someone else. That was an encounter that she disappeared for and came back from, and she was quite elated about that.
I like how you use it, quite elated.
Quite elated about that. Well, you know, I'm trying not to paint her. I try not to use, like, if you use a certain amount of salacious dialogue, Kiefer, like, your video can't be monetized, right?
Right.
So
the article I'm looking at, John, it's just to kind of summarize, says a woman alleged that she was 17 attending off campus party. She had, had sex. Araiza had sex with her in a side yard at an off-campus house before bringing her into a bedroom where a group of men took turns raping her.
Hold on. That's what the lawsuit accuses
right.
him of.
Right, right, right.
What actually happened, though, is that he left the scene, and then she went in and participated. Now, this sex act that she had with the second guy was partially recorded by cell phones, Keith. And so the prosecutor,
we look at different articles, so it's like we can bounce things off. That's what I enjoy about this back and forth.
I'm just letting you know that, like, for this accuser, things constantly get worse right. Because there's video footage of her showing her with the second encounter in which she is not displaying any signs of distress, no signs of pain, no signs of anything. Obviously, someone has come into the room with a cell phone and she's not stopping or calling for help or anything. And then the encounter you're describing was sort of the main encounter, where apparently there was some sort of incident where she went into a bedroom with three football players that had some sort of group sex. But Matt Araiza was not a part of that. The lawsuit is still pending some sort of litigation against San Diego State football players. Her claim was that she left that encounter bleeding, injured, wounded, that some of her piercings had been ripped out. I don't know if there's evidence of those things. I think it's been suggested that all of those things are made up out of whole cloth. Those are all confabulated. And so that entire incident was made up. But why did she throw Matt Araiza's name into that lawsuit? I think she probably had something cooking against these three football players who were involved in the the group encounter at the end. But he didn't get named until after he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. Exactly. I think that she purposely targeted him. She knew that he would be a big deal, but I think she was also taking the shotgun approach. I think her whole approach was is that she wanted to be involved with as many SDSU football players as she possibly could that night, hoping that one of them would be drafted or picked up in free agency or something, and that she would be able to exploit that. I read a book once. It was called Men of Sunday. It was about Christian athletes in the NFL and their experiences with temptation. They talked about how as an NFL player, there are women who will throw themselves at you. I think Mike Singletary tells the story of a time when he literally got done with a game or a practice or something, and he went back to his hotel room, and a woman broke into his hotel room through the window and offered to have sex with him. They do this for the glory of it, I'm sure, but also because then they can secure, particularly if they get pregnant, they can secure themselves financially indefinitely for their future, just with the child support alone that they're going to be taken care of.
Well, there's also stories out there, too, where a football player, and you know, professional, or I'll just say professional athlete, will have an encounter. He will find his elation, and the female will go to the restroom, collect whatever specimen that she can, and then down the road attempt to impregnate herself. There's been multiple accounts of that just with professional athletes. So yeah, I completely agree in the fact that let's wait. I mean, he was nicknamed the punt god for Christ's sakes. So you knew he was going to do good things. So yeah, once he's drafted, why not? Yeah. Why not? I think it was a little bit early in the fact, because you throw this lawsuit out and then he gets fired anyway. He didn't really have that much money at the time. You could have played chess a little bit better, in my opinion.
He admits that he should have handled the situation differently. Obviously, he's having conversations with his parents, which, you know, to be honest with you, if I was in his place and having my sex life when I was in college being discussed with my parents and the whole world, it would be very frustrating. But I will tell you the reason why I mentioned her as someone going around and targeting these people is because the truth is that she's a sexual predator. I mean, yeah. why aren't we calling it that way when we have all these witnesses? This is not a case of he said, she said. We've got video of her enjoying sex with another man after she had sex with Matt Araiza at the party. Basically, the prosecutor's office got in touch with her and said, based on the way that you behaved at this party, according to the witnesses, according to the video footage, and according to video footage that's been released from the way that you conducted yourself on the night prior at a completely different party, there's no way that we can prosecute this as a rape. So what, circling back around to the beginning, what's the difference between a criminal case and a civil case? A criminal case, you've got to take evidence, whether that's direct evidence and the source of whatever that you might collect from a rape kit, a vaginal swab, et cetera, signs of semen, bodily fluids, DNA. You've got to take circumstantial evidence saying, you know, like if a man and a woman entered a room and the door closed and you started hearing a woman cry, and then when she comes out and she's roughed up and she says that she was raped, there's some circumstantial evidence to suggest that, you know, although that you didn't see it happen, that it very well likely could have happened. You could say beyond a reasonable doubt, based on other factors on a story like that, that that's exactly what happened. They need to find some evidence, whether direct or circumstantial, to indict Matt Araiza, which they could not do, which indictment means just finding enough evidence to say, this is what we have, everybody. They do take it to a grand jury and say, do we have enough evidence to prosecute this person? Could we take him to trial? And they basically say yes or no. They don't decide whether or not he's guilty. They just say whether or not there's enough evidence to show somebody. So they didn't even get to an indictment. And then ultimately what it comes down to is that you have to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that someone violated criminal law in the state of California. That's a pretty high standard to meet. In a civil lawsuit, it's completely different. A civil lawsuit, you can throw someone's name around, try to get them involved, see if something sticks. Case in point, the shotgun approach, where you're going to try to involve all these San Diego State players. And you can hope for a Ben Roethlisberger type outcome, where basically to make it go away so that everyone can go on with their lives, you get in a certain amount of money to just quit. We live in a society now where that completely exists. People sue the city. people sue the county. Kiefer, I'm sure you've had many instances of this in your long career as a firefighter, where someone wants to sue a government body for some sort of breach of care or neglect or some kind of standard where harm was caused, or they failed to live up to their obligation. And the hope is, it's not that they're going to convince a jury or a judge, but that the city is going to offer a settlement to make it go away.
And you go after the deepest pockets.
Case in point, Matt Ariza has said, I will not settle this lawsuit. I'm not going to take any settlement on this, because it's the same as tacitly admitting guilt. Recently, his accuser and her attorney offered $50,000 to him as a settlement, to saying, hey, just give us $50,000 and we'll go away. And he was emboldened by that. He sees that as waving the white flag. He's like, no, are you kidding me? I was drafted and signed by the Buffalo Bills to a massive contract. $50,000 is less money than I make in a year. Why would Matt Ariza agree to pay that money when he was owed so much more? And if he pays that money, if he pays that $50,000, that being sort of a tacit admission of some kind of guilt, I don't think an NFL team would touch him, because, again, in the era of Deshaun Watson and all these other players, it's very, very damaging to the reputation of the NFL. We talked about this last week when we talked about how many domestic violence cases are going on in the NFL, how ugly that sort of thing can be, particularly with Zay Flowers, Von Miller, and others. I think he plays it rightly and smartfully, saying, if I sign off on this, if I pay this money to go away, I'll never get my NFL career back. So yeah. he said no to paying off the $50,000, which is a small amount. And sure enough, he's being signed by the Chiefs, which I think is tremendous. I think he actually now stands not only a good chance of getting his NFL career back, winning the starting job, although he is, out a year of statistics and a year of playing that he could have spent bettering himself and showing what a good player he is. The sad thing is, Keith, is that he's not going to be offered that huge contract that the Bills offered him for. Right. Now he's on sort of a, I don't want to say damaged goods, but he's a player whose market value, because of everything that he's gone through since he was drafted, he's a great deal. Basically, he's a value deal, where he's a great player, he's an excellent punter. Well, but because of everything he's gone through, he can be gotten on discount. Keith,
he's got that moniker over his head, even though he wasn't charged nor convicted of him being the sexual predator. That's over his head. That's what everybody sees. And it's just like, police officers or firefighters or dispatchers, whoever, you get a DUI, if you don't get fired, you get disciplined or whatever, but people don't see you as you. They see, oh, that guy drives drunk. And you could even just be accused of it and get out of it. I know guys that have been wrongly accused, but that's what people see. They're guilty in the court of popular opinion.
Exactly.
And that is why they will not call her a sexual predator, because that goes against the societal logic. Because, oh, a female can't be a sexual predator.
Right.
And it's this is a little off base, but, or off topic, but, on One More and I'm Out of Here, I think it's hilarious when I find a teacher, a female teacher, that will fuck half a football team. And I spotlight that just because I find it very humorous, because it's always, typically it's always the men are the sexual predators. But the women have just as much ability to do that shit. But society won't allow that.
It's very weird, because it's a very sexist way of viewing things, that we can't view women as sexual predators. It's an unfortunate side effect of the Me Too movement, right? A couple years ago, we had this believe all victims, every victim is correct, which is just, it's not how our legal system works. It's ruled by the mob. But this has been happening throughout the human race for thousands of years. You go back to the Salem witch trials. Basically, if a man doesn't like a woman, or if a woman doesn't like another woman, points a finger at her, says, you're a witch. Today, we do that with racist. Today, we do that with rapist. We could just point at people and we can completely destroy their reputation. In the 50s, we called people communists. They would get blacklisted. Yep. People in Hollywood and other industries wouldn't be able to get a job after, if they associated with someone or some kind of evidence was brought forward there that they were anything other than a red, white, and blue American, their lives were destroyed. And this is exactly what's happening in modern era. is that a woman can go out and accuse a man of rape, and it doesn't matter if he's done, if he actually did anything or not. His whole reputation can be destroyed. Now, someone like me, I already have a reputation to destroy. I work for the government. Suing me is going to get blood from a stone. It helps that no one is interested in having an encounter with me. You know, so that sort of thing is kind of like almost insurance for me to be in a Matt Rhys situation.
Well, and look at another sport, John. Trevor Bauer in the Major League Baseball. He was a Cy Young Award winner. Gets accused of essentially beating the shit out of this woman who, according to him, who he had text messages proving she wanted it and was completely on board with it, very consensual. There's cell phone videos of him sleeping with a sleep mask on and her taking a video of him in bed, laying next to him. I mean, by no means looking like she's in any, you know, any despair, and texting her friend saying, I got this guy. And he ends up winning. But his Major League Baseball career, he had to go to Japan. And now, you know, he was put on, what was it, a 200-game suspension or something like that, to where he missed a whole baseball season. This is a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
And the amount of money that that guy was set to make as his, because he was young. I mean, he still is young, but, you know, young in his MLB career, the amount of money that was, you know, slated for him, gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely gone. And now he cannot get picked up by a team to the point, because he's eligible to come back into the league. He literally threw out, I will play for league minimum for 3 years. Sign me. And, I mean, his whole career was screwed, but he was exonerated completely.
And a lot of players don't wind up so lucky as that. If, I mean, you might remember there was a football player named Sean Oakman. He played for Baylor. He was accused of raping another student in 2016. In his case, it went all the way the criminal route, right, where he was actually charged. Took 3 years for that case to be adjudicated. So 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, finally gets adjudicated. The jury hears his case. They deliberate for just 2 hours. 2 hours. For 3 years, they had to wait for a 2-hour decision for a jury to say not guilty. He was completely acquitted of that, which means in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of this society, using the system that the best system we can possibly have, he did not commit that sexual assault. And what happened to his career? It was laid to waste. It took him so long to prove that he was not guilty of these salacious crimes. His career ended before it ever began. And what's, you know, what happens to the people who accuse these guys? Anything? Of course not. You know, like, what are you going to charge them with? Filing a false report? Certainly someone like Sean Oakman or Matt Ariza could sue as well. Matt Ariza, in his case, he obviously, it's well documented that he had a defamation suit against his accuser that was, you know, waiting and ready to go because of all the damages that she had caused to his career. That case would be easy to make, right? Because, you know, he was fired from his job. He lost out on this lucrative contract. And of course, all his future earnings with the NFL, you know, a good lawyer could say that, you know, you're going to be paying Matt Ariza several million dollars, which for this girl, you know, for someone who's getting drunk, 17, having sex with a lot of people and breaking into college parties. I hate to overgeneralize, but it doesn't sound like she has like a career as like a high roller financially, someone who's going to be making a lot of money legitimately. So if she's got this kind of judgment, this kind of lawsuit over her for the rest of her life, she's going to be paying pennies to Matt Ariza. And, you know, it's not going to mean much to him to get that money other than just to be vindicated. He's dropped the defamation lawsuit, but he says, I will never, ever waive my right to sue her attorney, because there's different ways of handling a lawsuit, right? You can be discreet about things and you can handle things privately. And of course, it would come out anyway that he was being, that he was allegations of some sort of sexual assault were being made against him, which were bad enough. But this attorney that signed out this civil lawsuit against him handled it so brazenly that it damaged his reputation, perhaps beyond repair. And so he says, I will never waive my right to sue this attorney. So I think once the dust is settled, I think that attorney is going to have a lawsuit on their hands for the way that they handled it. And further damaging his career. Like, you can have a young girl making a claim and we can get past that and be adults and move on and say this all needs to go away. But you also had a lawyer exploiting the situation, because right. of course the lawyer, you know, the 17-year-old girl's got no money to pay him. It's one of those we only get paid if you win type situations. So he's out there playing his hardest game ever, trying to get go after Matt Araiza just to get the settlement money, this $50,000. If this lawyer gets some piece of that, that's a complete win for him.
And probably 20 or 30%, I would guess.
20-30%. Yeah, that's something for him. But he's, you know, he got nothing out of the lawsuit, and now he's made himself liable for a defamation lawsuit. And I've said this on the show a couple of weeks ago. I'm very, very anti-litigation, right? I don't like lawsuits. I think things should either be solved peaceably with some sort of non-judicial mediation, or I've said this also, just with violence in the streets. You got a problem with someone, you take it outside.
Right.
You're supposed to laugh at that one, Kiefer, but you're just like, I settle things with violence all the time.
No, I'm with you. I'll meet you by the flagpole.
I'll meet you outside by the flagpole, and we'll settle this. Instead of for thousands of dollars, we'll just break each other's bones or something.
Yeah.
No, but you know, it's what kind of consequences is she gonna face for wrongfully accusing this man? Is she, you know, filing a false report? You know, this lawsuit, the anti-defamation lawsuit, but against her has been dropped. There has to be something. Unfortunately, in criminal law,
her name's released. When her name is released at some point, it'll hit a headline for about half a second, and yeah. nobody will know who the hell she is. But yet, yeah. again, Matt Araiza.
Yeah.
That accusation's over his head still.
It'll hang over his head always, and hopefully he goes on with a very productive career with the Chiefs. I'm, you know, hoping good things for him. But the criminal law, prosecutors, politicians, they're very, very, they don't want to touch this. This is almost like any other hot button issue, whether it's abortion or whatever else. They don't want to create legislation on it, because now they've signed their name to a document that's going to be controversial either way. You don't want to create a law in which penalizes someone who's trying to level accusations of rape in the case that the prosecutor can't make the case, right? So if a woman is raped and there's not enough evidence of it to go to trial or whatever, and so she wants, you know, some sort of civil damages assessed to her, and for the hypothetical of this situation, it actually happened. You don't want the guy who was accused and to have no charges come against him in the civil lawsuit be able to say, well, I want charges pressed on her for making this false claim against me. There's sort of a crack in the law where we have no way to address false accusers without possibly being able to damage the people who truly get screwed over in rape cases. You know, the females and males that can't make the claims or can't make the charges stick in court or win cases of civil damages. So there's like a weird area in there in the law in which there's really no way to get justice, and it's unfortunate. Kiefer, what would be your way of dealing with that if you were on the Supreme Court?
Well, I think again, the societal court of opinion makes it very hard for any of these, whether it's a lower circuit judge or even, you know, a Supreme Court judge, because every decision that you make and every exhibit that you read, if you don't rule on it correctly, you're all over the news. So it makes it very hard, even though that is their job, it makes it very hard to make a fair and just ruling without you being kind of pulled into it.
Right.
And it's a thankless job, but it needs to be done. But you can only hope that it's done justly and for the right reasons and with the right evidence, you know, being presented. But that's a big shit pill to swallow.
It's an awful situation. I just feel bad for Matt Araiza. He said that when these allegations came out, everyone was very quick to convict him. Like you said, the court of public opinion, everyone thought he was a piece of shit. Everyone thought he was a terrible person. And then the truth comes out, and then because it's not salacious, it doesn't make the news cycle. And of course, yeah. news agencies are very loath to ever admit that they're wrong. They're fine selling commercials saying, hey, former Buffalo Bills player was charged with this, and now he's facing this. It sure is scandalous, and now here's your commercial for Pfizer. And then when the news comes out, like, oh, yeah, that was all made up. None of that ever happened. The news has no interest in telling that because there's some other salacious case that they've already moved on to. So the fact that you never see follow-ups or corrections in the news is how you know that there's a problem with the news.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, with co-hosting with a, you know, a media guy, I kind of mess with him and bust his balls all the time. I'm like, you media people get it wrong all the time. And when you do, you may occasionally see something, but it's at the very bottom of whatever website or whatever webpage. Oh, well, we're recusing what we said before. And, you know, this is the correction, but nobody scrolls down that far.
No.
Typically nobody.
No.
Headline sell, the first five sentences, six sentences sell, and then people move on to the next thing.
The other thing is just the campaign that he's on right now to, get signed by an NFL team, and the way that it's being characterized, he goes, you know, Matt Araiza is going out to reclaim his image. Like, what do you mean reclaim? You were the guys that sullied his image. He never did anything to his image. It wasn't like he's not on the rebound. He's not on a comeback. He didn't do anything wrong. He was wrongfully accused. The news lambasted him. The news excoriated him. The public, we're guilty of saying, well, you know, he was accused of doing this, so he must have done it. I absolutely hate that as soon as accusations come out, we just assume, well, that means they did it. Anyone can accuse anyone of anything. Anyone can sue anyone for any reason. And perhaps most disgustingly of all, Keith, is that no one can tell the difference between a civil lawsuit and a criminal lawsuit. Anyone can sue anyone for anything, as I just said. Yep. So if someone's getting sued for something, it doesn't mean shit. Particularly in an age where you might as well shoot your shot and see what you get out of it. You know, you may not hit it over the fences, but you may get a base run. And by stepping up to bat, you know, just to complete the sport analogy, you might get walked to first base. You know, you never know. There's all kinds of strategy. It's always worth it to go out there for anyone to sue any kind of situation. And Matt Araiza will say, you know, the same way that Mike Singletary and these other athletes have said over the years, that if you're in this position where you're moving up, that you've got a big future, anything can derail you. You've got to be especially careful. You've got to be especially suspicious. You've got to make wise decisions. I think he was making some wise decisions that night, you know, asking her for her age, which she said she was 18 and she consented. He had a designated driver that night, right? Like, he knew that he was going to be going into a situation in which he was drinking. So he arranged to have a designated driver drive him away. But ultimately, he succumbed to sexual temptation, and that was something that damaged him for a long time. So he acknowledges that that was not a smart thing to do, but he didn't deserve the outcome that came from this. And the fact that he's having to fight back uphill to reclaim something that he will never get back, meaning that contract that he got initially from the Bills and the last year to his career, it's just tremendously.
You also have to take into account as well, I mean, take him being a student athlete and a very, very good student athlete in college. Take that out. He's 21 years old. Go to any college campus and see what happens at frat parties, sorority parties, or just regular house parties. Go to any college campus and look at what a 21-year-old college student is doing.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just like cops, firemen, it's, you know, you're held to a higher standard. I understand it. I get it. But you have to look, he's a student athlete. So that's he's held to a higher standard. And, you know, he needs to be more cognizant, which it seems like he was, you know, to your point, but he's also still 21 years old. I remember when I was 21 and the dumb shit I was doing. So he still hadn't grown up completely, even though he is an adult and of legal drinking age and, you know, can go buy a handgun. He still isn't completely grown up, and he's going to make some dumb, you know, make some dumb choices. So the little things that he did, I think those are overshadowed by the bigger good things that he did.
In my opinion. Well, the other thing is that he might be making stupid decisions and doing unwise things, which we all did in our 20s. It's just part of growing up. It's part of life experience. It's part of becoming a mature man. Sometimes you have to learn from mistakes to get there.
Absolutely.
But what he wasn't being a predator. He wasn't preying on people. She intentionally went out, broke into this party as she had the night before, got into a situation with a lot of these football players, and the lawsuit was always the end goal. And now I'm going to tell you a story from my past. It's not personal to me, but I want to put this in proper context, because there's a lot of people out there that are naive about 18-year-old girls and 17-year-old girls and what they will do. I went to a kind of a rough high school, inner city high school, and this was 1999. This is my freshman year, and I had one geography class that was...
That was your freshman year in 99?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. I forget
about that.
I'll never forget this class because it was very frustrating. Not only was I the best student in the class, but the class itself didn't even say anything. Every day we were in seventh period geography, and I remember the name of my teacher. I won't say it here because he gets wrongfully accused, but he was a good teacher. He was someone who honestly tried. He tried to get control of that classroom. I have no idea how this happened, but somehow every single terrible kid in that entire high school was all in one class. I was the only one that wasn't. Pretty much a horrible kid. Yelling, screaming the entire time. He couldn't get the class under control. Almost no geography was taught. Case in point, in 1999, Canada created a new territory. It's called Nunavut. I never heard about it until 20 years later, even though I was in a geography class in an era in which a new political state was created. I never found out about it. I heard none of it. In other words, that's the joke I always like to make. There was this one girl, and I'll say her name because she's a piece of shit. Her name was Brandy, and I don't remember her last name. Brandy was, she was a bad girl. And I saw Brandy making out with a kid in our... Can I tell this story?
I can't help it. You're making me laugh.
Well, it's a true story. Fuck's sakes.
I like
Brandy
it.
Brandy was making out with her boyfriend in class. And I'm like, you know how I am now. When I was 14... You know, I was a pretty innocent kid. I grew up Christian. I had always gone to private schools. I went to Christian schools. I'd never been in public school before the ninth grade. I didn't go to the previous 3 years. I didn't even go to school, right? Because my parents were so bad. I didn't go to school for 3 years. So I had not been around kids for 3 years. The last kids I had been around were all good Christian kids. And all of a sudden I'm in this terrible geography class with all these kids behaving just terribly. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah. I was thrown into the deep end. I'm like looking away. I'm trying to nap on my backpack through the end of the day because this class was totally out of control. And I would see her doing these awful things. I would see her like feeling up her boyfriend in class. I literally saw her like rope him at one point. This is like warping me. Well, at one point, our geography teacher disappeared. Didn't know where he was at. We had substitutes, and I get called down by myself to go down to the administrator's office. Every single student's going, well, finally, it's my turn. Go down to the administrator's office, and I am nervous that I have done something wrong because, you know, I've essentially just been called to the principal's office. I don't try to do anything in this class. I keep my head down. I just try to learn, like, how many countries are in Central America. Like, I'm just doing the best I can, you know, to just get through this and, like, learn something. Because at the end of the year, we have standardized state tests I have to pass. I can't just get through this and, you know, hope for the best. I have to actually, like, in order to get past this, I have to pass a test that's being given by someone other than my teacher. So I'm largely self-taught in geography, latitude, longitude, taught it all to myself. So I'm scared, and they're asking me about Brandy, and they saying, did anything ever happen with Brandy and your teacher? And I told the truth. Of course, I said, no, I've never seen anything like that. I never knew anything like that to happen. No, that definitely, definitely, definitely did not occur. And that was the truth. And I was glad to tell the truth. This is the part where I fell down in terms of my character. I went back to the class and other students were called out. And Brandy was sitting in a seat near me. She's like sitting in the next row over and behind me. And she's talking to a friend of mine named Alexis. And I could overhear this because we're not even having a lesson that day. It's everyone just being hauled one by one to the office. And I overhear the two of them talking. And I hear Alexis ask Brandy if anything actually happened. And I hear Brandy say, no, but it's too late to stop it now.
Oh, shit.
And had I been mature, had I been a person of character, if I'd had the sense to fully understand what was going on, it wasn't until retrospect that I realized that she had obviously accused him of some sort of sexual harassment or some other inappropriate conduct. You know, when class was over, I should have marched myself down to that office and say, get a load of this. When you were done talking to me, I knew nothing. And when I went back, this is what I overheard. Take it or leave it. Use it for whatever you want. But I heard her say to Alexis that nothing happened, but it's too late to stop it now. So everyone, all the bad kids in this class hated this teacher and they wanted to get rid of him. And I don't know if this was Brandy's idea or boyfriend's idea or some other person's idea, but they conspired to get rid of the guy. They were ready to accuse him of something he didn't do. Case in point, he was out of the class, I assume suspended with or without pay. I have no idea. I'm sure that damaged his life. He was not a teacher my sophomore year when I returned to high school, but he's signing up to be a teacher. He's not getting paid very much. He has to put up with these fucking kids. And look what happened to him. Some student accused him of impropriety. Yeah. And I'm for sure that it never happened. And it was all just fucking made up. So that was a girl who was 14, less, you know, far fewer years in terms of, you know, growth and development than the 17-year-old. And that, and I don't think there was ever a lawsuit plan. You know, there might've been, had they may have been able to make something stick, but, women are devious and we shouldn't have this attitude that, and I should say, as our men, we shouldn't have some attitude that women are perfect or that women are victims or that we should always believe victims. Women are impelled by all the same things that make all of the rest of us do bad things: greed, power, whatever else. And when they're in a position to take advantage of a man financially or otherwise, I think they're very inclined to do it. And unfortunately, our society, it will believe them at the drop of a hat. All they have to do is level an allegation in civil court, where the standard of guilt is just a preponderance of evidence, right? Like, yep. Did he do it? Yeah, probably. That's how the judge is literally going to decide a civil case. He probably did it. 51%, right? Not beyond a shadow of a doubt, but you know, he, in law likelihood, he probably did it. So anyone can go out there, make an allegation, like I said, shoot their shot, and especially a woman, our society will believe them. And what makes me sick is that the more audacious the claim, the more likely we are to just believe it. If anything, the more outrageous the claim, the less likely we should believe it. The idea that Matt Ariza, star punter for San Diego State, was involved in gang rape, that should shock our conscience and say, like, I don't believe that he would do that. That's a horrible, horrible crime. And we should be skeptical about these things. But for some reason, the more salacious it is, the more damage it causes and the more that we believe it. So I don't know if we can overcome that as a society, because that's like human psychology, but it certainly disgusts me to think that, you know, that that's exactly how the world works.
Well, you've got women shit bags, you got men shit bags. Women do bad shit, men do bad shit. But make sure you have all of the facts before you, you know, lean any certain direction in an opinion. Have all the facts. And that's what our society does not do.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I'm glad you brought this case up, man.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, we could go the opposite way next week. Did you want to, like, cover the case of Ray Lewis?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
There's all kinds of things to talk about in that one.
Should we call next week possibly rightfully accused? Question mark?
Question mark?
Just because I don't want to be held liable. Not that I have any money, but you know, I also don't, you know, let's take what we just said and apply it, right? Like, we don't have all the facts. Not everyone knows everything about what happened with Ray Lewis, but why don't we comb through the facts that we do have and see if we can arrive at our own conclusion. Obviously Ray Lewis,
strip clubs and murder, question mark.
Strip clubs and murder. But not convicted of a crime, but seemingly involved in something. So unless somebody has something better, reach out to us. You can reach me at difficult to look at pictures on Instagram. You can get out to talk to Jay Keefe at jkeefe21 on Instagram. We'd appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate that bearing with us and kind of almost a true crime bent on this one. Happy for Matt Ariza that things are going his way. That just shows that standing strong, not bowing to that pressure, and having character always pay off. So good for him. Other than that, we'll catch you next week. We appreciate you watching the show. Tomorrow, Eric, we'll have a big case breakdown. On Monday, we'll be back with live comedy. Tuesday is true crime. Wednesday, all the news that you need to stay well informed. We'll be back here on Thursday. So for me and Keith, guns up, giddy up.
Yep.
Good night, America.